Hooked on a feeling. You're listening to episode number 142 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Yeah. Welcome to episode number 142 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Is it? Is it really?
Fuck, we're only 8 episodes away from 150. Jesus.
Shit, we're old.
Actually, we're kind of closer to that if we count the stuff that A-Train has to finish.
Oh, yeah. The lost episodes.
Good point.
It's like with A-Rod. We're not going to count all those home runs he hit.
It's got an asterisk next to it.
So as of right now, we're at 142 episodes. And I want to say something because I didn't say it. I really want to thank you guys especially, but Spider Lantern and Gamma Drone for the love and affection that I felt when I returned as hosting duties. Wes, even though you're my editorial boss, you can suck my dick for later for, you know, trying to shoot me. That's racist. It's hate crime because I'm Hispanic. You're a black man. Now it goes.
I don't know what's going on here, but I'm scared.
Okay, anyways. So,
riot?
I appreciate the love. It's good to be back.
Blacks and Hispanics having a riot. Oh, no!
No.
What?
Apparently, true story. Apparently,
it's Rodney King all over again. Oh,
apparently, here in Austin, Texas, there is a tense situation between the black community and Hispanic community, which...
Uh-oh.
Which I don't know why, because my neighbors who are across the street who are black, and they love me, and I love them. So, I don't know what that's about.
They're not real blacks. Those are the good, clean, reform blacks. Real blacks don't like anybody.
Whatever.
Oh, shit, did I just say that?
That's all...
Well, you're black, so did you mean it?
I'm not a real black. I like people.
Yeah, he does.
Real blacks are antagonistic and lazy.
Race traitor.
Anyways, let's back topic. Let's move on.
No, hold on. We're getting real up in here.
No, I don't want to get real. I don't want to get real.
Real up in the field, all right?
Hell yeah, man.
I don't want to get real. So anyways, let's move on. Brian, who's playing troll this week?
Oh, why, it's none other than that British funny man, Simon Pegg. Yes,
I like him. He funny.
Earlier in the week, Simon Pegg tweeted out a photograph of him standing next to a Marvel mural and him pointing at Ant-Man. And for those of you who don't know, Simon Pegg's one of his longtime collaborators, Edgar Wright, who was actually directing the movie, is, of course, helming Ant-Man. So questions began to arise whether or not Edgar Wright had cast his go-to guy for the Ant-Man role. However... news has come forward, or Simon Pegg has actually come forward himself and said that no, he's not playing Ant-Man. But we've seen this sort of thing before, this sort of, sort of lead him off the trail. I'm not entirely sure if he's being honest or not. It's entirely possible, but given Marvel's nature of secrecy and, you know, it is Simon Pegg, I don't know. I guess you can just believe whatever you want to believe, but...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that just leaves the question of which Ant-Man would he be playing, which I'm not really sure he fits any of the bills.
He's no offense to Simon Pegg, I love him. You know, he's great as Scotty, and I've loved him and Edgar Wright's collaborations. I loved him in all Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. I can't wait to see the new movie that's coming out. I think he's great, and I loved him in Fat Boy Run.
I saw that too.
I thought I was one of the only few people who saw that movie.
No, I saw that. That was a funny movie.
Yes, it was. I think that's the least talked about of the ones he's done with Edgar Wright. I'm not sure, but it's still a funny movie. You should watch it. But anyways, He's a fine actor, but because we don't know what Ant-Man it is, right?
I think they've gone on record as saying it's not Hank Pym, but right, other than that, we're given no leading.
Because he, I mean, maybe he could do it, but I just don't see Hank Pym. You know, if anything, he would play, just because of the nature of the character and based on what Edgar Wright does, is play humor for the most part, he would be Eric O'Grady.
Yeah, but he strikes me as too old to be Eric O'Grady.
That's the fucking movie universe. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing.
I know that, but still, Eric O'Grady's like a 20-something scumbag.
Well, what if he'd be a bit funnier if he's like an older dude who's washed out on his luck and he happens to find the Ant-Man technology?
I guess, but then that raises the question of what he was doing finding highly classified S.H.I.E.L.D. technology in the first place. Because you know it's S.H.I.E.L.D. technology without even blinking an eye. Because, as Taser's pointed out, this whole universe is connected by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Shit happens. I don't know. I don't know. That's a story. Or maybe he's like a scientist. I don't know. Because like, they would obviously pick. They're obviously going to pickpocket from all the Ant-Mans.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, aside from, okay, hold on. With that thought, with Hank Pym, you actually get the person who develops the, you know, the science, you know, the formula. Okay, with Scott Lang, you get what, the daughter. And with Eric O'Grady, you get what, the humor?
Yeah.
So basically, we've got an intelligent, divorced, funny guy with a kid.
If I like Scott Lang, I wouldn't include Scott Lang at all.
Yeah, but I mean, would you want that guy?
No, I'd rather it be either one or the other. I wouldn't want an amalgam, but I have a feeling because it's their habit of doing so, they're going to cherry pick. They've done it in the past.
You're right. I don't disagree with you at all. It's just the fact that knowing you're right is just.
Well, don't forget, this all could just be an elaborate hoax, and he could be telling the truth by saying he's backing off.
Not even if it's Simon Pegg, not even if it's him playing the role, but just like for that character in general, for the character of Ant-Man, because it'd be nice to have another scientist on there who's, you know, a normal dude. You know,
you mean somebody who's not Tony Stark and good at everything?
Exactly, and God also Stark? Who is not
God Stark. There you go.
Exactly.
Term, God Stark.
You know what? You know what they might do? They might turn him into a former Stark employee.
That, you know, that would just be disgusting.
He had worked for Stark, or B, you know, it'd be cool if they had him like for AIM for a bit.
You know, I want to see the Hank Pym we saw in the animated Ultimate Avengers movie, where he's like disgruntled and bitter in a garage.
You mean the Ultimates where he fucking no.
The guy who fucks a mutant and then like bitch smacks her because she leaves eggs in the bed sometimes.
Yeah, see, that's another why I don't want Simon Pegg in the room. I don't want to see him smacking.
Hey, Lucy Liu.
She uses bug spray on her. I mean, geez.
Hey, she had it coming.
Hey, Ben, I did not say. I said I wanted the animated Ultimate Avengers movie Hank Pym, who is entirely different from that one, in that he dies
still
a heroic
dick.
Death.
I don't
want
to see
an
asshole on screen.
Why not? They could use more assholes.
That doesn't mean I want
to
see.
There's a line, everybody. We could use more assholes.
That doesn't mean I want to sit through an entire 2-hour movie for it.
Well, I'm not saying like he has to be an asshole all the time, but just maybe he's bitter against S.H.I.E.L.D. or Stark because he did get shit-canned or they refused his work as nonsense, and then he's nicer to other people, like his daughter or his wife or, you know, stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't...
How about this? How about we don't tie him to Stark? How about we don't tie him to S.H.I.E.L.D.? How about we just leave him as an independent scientist who came up with this discovery on his own?
I don't think anyone's saying he didn't discover it on his own. I'm just saying they feel the need to tie him to for funding and stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying, though. In one of the early talks about, you know, the movie, he was supposed to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. scientist, or at least working really closely with S.H.I.E.L.D. So, I mean, does everybody need to be tied to S.H.I.E.L.D. or Tony Stark? Can we stop sucking their dicks? Really? How about letting people develop on their own without any sort of allegiance to one of the other two? You know? People were separate before. Let them be separate. Now, as it is, watch, when they actually get, if they get the rights back from Sony for Spider-Man.
He's an Avenger automatically.
Peter Parker will have, his parents, well, they were originally S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, but Peter will end up trying to think about maybe becoming a secret agent or something.
Well, even in the Ultimate Universe, S.H.I.E.L.D. flat out tells them they're keeping tabs on Peter Parker because they know him and they know his parents and shit like that.
I can accept that because it's long been established that his parents were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. What I'm saying is Peter's aims in regards to what he wants to do with his life, aside from being Spider-Man, they'll
I don't. I think you're wrong about that. I think they'll have him work more with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think they'll stick true to Spider-Man. I think in terms of like they're doing with Ultimate Spider-Man, they have him working with S.H.I.E.L.D. But
That's Ultimate Spider-Man, which is where it's fine like that.
No, but I think you're wrong, and I think that they understand Spider-Man enough to know like, hey, okay, he's this, but let's not. I think they know. They'll do it with Ant-Man because they want to have an association with the character, and maybe
to what benefit. Aside from having an agent that can shrink really small and infiltrate. Infiltration, I understand.
Well, not necessarily like he's an agent, but like a scientist who works with him or something like that.
Well, don't forget, pin particles work both ways in that they can both increase and decrease size. So technically, this could be like a B5 football. I'm going to smash fucking Islamic Village on your ass, you know. Just step on him a little bit.
But all I'm saying is that I could see them doing that with Ant-Man because, oh, here's S.H.I.E.L.D., here's something you're familiar with, but here's this original new character you've never seen before if you haven't seen the animated cartoon series. That's what I'm saying. Whereas with Peter Parker, he's established, they know who he is, they don't need, and I don't think they will, unless it's a cartoon to sell toys, to tie him with the Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D., unless it's like a big team-up movie. But in a solo movie, if Marvel ever did a movie, Disney ever did a Spider-Man movie, I think they'd just be like, yeah, let's just do it. Just be Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Really? Because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been attached to every character introduced in a Marvel movie to
date. I'm not saying they wouldn't have a play, but not as heavily as, say, they, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't play a single role in Iron Man 3.
That was fortunate.
I don't think they're going to play a role in Thor: The Dark World.
They've got Stellar Skarsgård, whatever his name is.
That was from before he joined S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and now
that's from the previous movie. So I don't.
That guy's a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or at least he's one of those.
A stretch because he was already in the first film's established cast before he even joined S.H.I.E.L.D.
Talking connection to S.H.I.E.L.D. He's right there.
Yeah, but he's not there for the connection to S.H.I.E.L.D. He's there because he was in the last movie.
Yeah, and he has a connection to S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Okay, boys, zip it up, return to your corners. Iggy, you are something of a fan of the quote-unquote scientist supreme, whatever the fuck that means.
They're not going to do it.
That term.
Who could you see playing Hank Pym to your appeal, I guess you'd say?
The thing is, I don't know because you put me on the spot. You want a guy in his, I would say a guy in his 30s. Like, not late 30s, but like mid to early 30s.
Okay.
I was going to say Jim Caviezel. I would like him to play Ant-Man.
I thought for sure you were going to go Ryan Gosling.
No, he's too young. He's, no offense, I love Ryan, and he would he's Daredevil. He's Daredevil. Okay. My pick, and anybody can lambast me for this, I would cast Jim Caviezel, Jesus Christ Almighty, as Ant-Man. All
right.
If you're old enough to understand what the fuck that means, well, then you don't understand mainstream culture. That movie's almost 10 years old. That's nuts.
And I still never saw it.
Don't. It's a snuff
movie. Same here.
Oh, my God.
Although, I could agree with that. I think Jim Caviezel would be an interesting choice for Hank Pym. But I'll be perfectly honest. I could see Simon Pegg as Hank Pym. Yeah. It's just that Hank Pym would be British. And, well, you know,
he's an actor. He could probably learn how to do an American accent.
I've never heard him. He could learn it, but I don't think they would bother.
Do you think they would just try to sell it as Simon Pegg?
Well, look, they'd cut out a lot of the jokes that his characters will want to do. Plus, they'd also make him not play as pathetic a male character as he's also want to do.
Yeah.
And I think he could play it straight. You know, he's done good work. I think he could do it. And I wouldn't mind it. You know, I liked the body of work that Simon Pegg has brought forward to date. Same for Jim Caviezel. Don't get me wrong. I think he could also play that role and play it well too. But I kind of like Pegg more. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, I think Pegg could also, and you know, again, based on his past work, I think he could bring a bit of humor, which you kind of need in a comic book movie. I mean, I like my movie serious. That's why I love Blade so much, because there's not a whole lot of humor in that movie. But every once in a while, you kind of need like one of those, aha, that's funny, haha. And it might even not be something that was intended to be done, but something of an accident. I think Pegg could, be that guy. I don't have a problem with him, you know. A lot of people, are just kind of like mentally reeling, like, oh my God, him. No, I like the idea,
They stole a pin particles. Oh my God, laddie. They probably cast his fat friend as his fat friend would be like a shield agent.
We're dealing with a universe where Heimdall is black and he's an Asgardian.
Why not? Yeah, fucking.
And Hogan is Japanese, and he's an Asgardian.
Isn't Hogan Japanese? In the fuck, he looks.
No,
he looks Japanese.
No, he is not. He just looks like a Hun.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, these changes happen, and fuck it, you kind of have to roll with it if you want to just be able to enjoy it. So, on that, I don't have a problem with Hank Pym being a Brit.
All right. Final words. Be right.
Scientist Supreme is a stupid title that should
you
never.
You realize that's not even an original title. That's what the leader of AIM is called, right?
I like it.
But
I like it.
anybody who's in charge of AIM is a Scientist Supreme. It's not a mystical shit. It's just because they're science. Whatever.
So like then there you go, Hank Pym.
AIM should have been the bad guy for Ant-Man.
Moving on.
No, the Wizard should be the fucking bad guy that Ant-Man fights.
Nah.
Oh, come on. It'd be great.
I'd want to save him for Fantastic Four, really.
Fuck those guys.
If anything, make it the Tinkerer. Kids know him from Marvel Ultimate Alliance, too. I mean...
The Tinkerer? Really? No. Fine, the Tinkerer. The Frightful Four, better. No. Just do it. Okay, let's move on.
Just do it.
B-Rye. We got a trailer to talk about, huh?
Yeah, we actually got two of them, but we'll start with this one, because it dropped earlier in the week.
I don't know how that song goes, so whatever.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy trailer leaked out online, and depending on who you ask, it was either they're keeping mum about it, like Iggy is, who's patiently holding out hope and holding on without saying too much.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
Hooked on a feeling. Da, 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 da. I'm high on believing. Like that. And then you have people like Taser. Taser?
I'm making the noose now. I'm getting up on stool. I'm making the noose now.
Taser, wait, at least get your opinions on what you think of the trailer based on what you've seen.
I'm not up high enough because I'll be able to hit the floor if I jump, but I'm making the noose now. That's exactly what I'm feeling based on that trailer.
Okay. I thought it was interesting. I mean, there was a little bit of a blurb released prior, along with the leaked trailer, in that apparently a jet pilot, can you guess who that is, folks?
That's Peter Quill?
Yes, it is. He gets trapped in space, and he and his space buddies got to go do space things. And his space buddies, of course, as a reminder, are Zoe Saldana as Gamora, Dave Bautista as Drax, Vin Diesel as Groot, and a yet unnamed actor voicing Rocket Raccoon.
We don't know who's voicing Rocket Raccoon yet?
No, they still haven't released that bit, I don't think.
Okay.
Although, interestingly enough, they did just add another name to the Guardians of the Galaxy. They cast another guy who's worked with the director, James Gunn, before, and it got all JB all hot and bothered about it.
Yeah,
JB.
Nathan Fillion?
Greg Henry.
I don't
know who that is.
He's mostly a TV actor, but he's done a film.
Sorry, James Gunn's fans.
So if JV was to have met James Gunn, I think he'd probably ooze.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He'd just have it overflowing from his pants. And just
really?
Blah, 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 blah.
Cream!
but, you know, it's just... I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can take away. It's mostly just scene clips. It's not really dialogue to add to the story. It's not... really anything? I mean, it's a bunch of shots of them in prison.
A bunch of a-holes, right?
Fight scene. Oh, and then that fucking scene.
that's clearly James Gunn's right there. I mean,
they call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, thank you, John C. Reilly. Thank you for that.
Like, the thing is, because I know John C. Reilly can play characters. I know he can become invested in a character and not play the guy from Talladega Nights. which disappoints me because I'm like, well, if that's any indication, and when it might not be, oh fuck. And then
aside from Boogie Nights, can you name a serious role that John C. Reilly has done? And yes, I know he was in Boogie Nights because I remember that.
Walk
fake.
Hard.
Never forget it.
Walk.
Which
hard?
One?
Walk Hard.
What the hell was that?
Exactly. Let's move on.
It was.
It's a Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. He's pretty good. They meet the Beatles and they get high.
Was he serious in that?
No, it was a comedy role.
Shut up. That answers the question.
It was a parody of Johnny Cash Walk the Line biopic. Okay, don't get me started.
Oh, okay. I kind of remember that now. Yeah. I didn't see it, but I remember.
There's a scene where he does PCP with the Beatles. It's pretty funny.
LSD.
Is it
PCP?
LSD?
He'd be running around ripping people's heads off.
Oh yeah, whatever. I don't know drugs.
You got your acronyms mixed up, Iggy. We got to work on this.
It's all drugs. It's all the same.
Yeah, hey, whatever. You know, one just makes you go freaking crazy like Roy Rage, and the other makes you zone out on bad trips. But,
all right, move on.
But yeah. Also, not crazy about the soundtrack choice in this one, which was in
it
case
it could just be for a trailer,
case,
so we don't know.
In
if
case
that's
you weren't let on, it was Hooked on a Feeling. Which the big
which could be which could be right? Just a trailer, and we don't know if it's going to be.
I think that
could be
James Gunn
be.
Right there. I think that's his touch.
You think he's like calling audibles on all this stuff, or he's like, no,
but that's like Shane Black putting Iron Man 3 around Christmas time. That's like his shtick. Shane Black loves Christmas, apparently.
Well, I don't know.
If you talk to Shane Black fans, Iron Man 3 is like, oh yeah, that's him. That's totally him. So
I look at this trailer and. I'm not on Taser's side, and I'm not really on Iggy's side.
What side am I on? I haven't said shit.
Exactly. You're on the say nothing side. But the
I was like, what the fuck?
I'm on the side where I literally have no idea what to make of. I have jack shit way of figuring out what the hell this is about. This has literally confounded me to the point where I don't know what I'm looking at anymore. I actually be the simplest concept. It's five people who kick ass in space and who are fighting Thanos. How hard is that? And instead, it's Hooked on a Feeling and John C. Reilly with a British guy. And the British guy's in space, too, which is super awesome, I guess.
Well, if you want to do alien voices in English, British is the only way to go.
Well, because they're evil.
Because British is the ultimate foreign accent, apparently.
Exactly.
No other accents exist.
Why do you
ever.
Think the Imperial people, some of them were British?
Why do you think the little kid in Les Miserables had a Cockney British accent when he lives in fucking France? Think about that for a second.
Disney did a whole movie that was in French, and, you know, most of the actors had British accents. So, you know, Three Musketeers, 1993. Fun movie. Fucking retarded voice acting. But that's been a Hollywood standard for generations.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I love the British, though. I love how they talk.
I don't have a problem with the British. I'm just saying, if it's supposed to be in France, fucking French accents!
Oui, mademoiselle.
Aliens in space, shit, you could do anything, you know, but...
Yeah, you should, but you can. Anyway, I just am really left with a big question mark over my head, like I'm a freaking Sims character, just like, what the hell did I just see? I don't know. I mean, I'll wait until the trailer comes out in full cinematic quality, and maybe it doesn't end so abruptly, but we'll see, I guess.
I thought it was interesting. I don't want to comment on... Batista looks like Batista with makeup, so that's a thing. I don't have any visceral... I love Zoe Saldana, or however you say her name is. I think she's
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe, yeah, Saldana, because she's Latina. I don't... That, in terms of the stills, that makeup she's wearing looks really, really like Star Trek circa 1969. No, 1963. knowing this because I have seen the original pilot where Admiral Pike, or Captain Pike at the time, gets a dream sequence and sees a green woman dancing sexually. So, I've seen that, and... what's the guy's name who's playing Peter Quill?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt looks amazing. You know, he's gonna be that.
I buy him as Star-Lord at least. That's something.
He looks physically nice, I guess. I don't want to comment. Rocket Raccoon, that gif of him shooting looks hysterical. Like it should, because it's a fucking Rocket Raccoon.
I still want to know who's fucking voicing him. They haven't even let that go.
Whoever it is gonna be angry. I'd imagine Rocker is always pissed off all the time.
He'll probably have a British accent too.
Because it's funnier. Shit. No, he should. Because we were watching Super Hitler Car. He should be German.
What?
Just angry German
that
man.
That would be hilarious.
Angry German Rocket that Raccoon.
That would be.
Go ahead.
And it's subtitled. He's screaming in German, and it's subtitled.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go read Guardians of the Galaxy, any comic featuring Rocket Raccoon, and go read him in a German voice.
Chris Pratt for Rocket Raccoon.
No, basically, get the guy who played Hitler in that movie
and just have a
video and all that shit.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. You know, especially since they're leaning towards a comedy, fuck it, why not?
No, he's German, and he's also chittering.
We would just like to preemptively apologize to all of our German listeners out there. Sorry.
Oh, God.
So yeah, that's Guardians of the Galaxy.
But I think it's interesting. At least I'm like, wow, that's some really bold choices you're going for this movie that nobody knows who these characters are. Well, at least they're gonna stick in their heads. I'll comment more when we see a full trailer. Taser, bring it.
Yeah, I already said all I need to say. I'm standing here. I'm looking for a higher ladder, you know, so I could reach this pole up here on the side of my house. You know, so when I step off, you know, the snap is quick and complete.
He's looking for the ideal hanging. Is what we're talking about here.
You know, so that I can take James Gunn, drag him here, drag him up.
And oh, so it's a murder-suicide.
Hell no, I'm not suicidal. I want to kill him. Remember, the taser loves life.
Yes. I still haven't been sold entirely on Zoe Saldana as a Gamora yet. She still the bugs me in that way, man.
I don't care.
Yeah. But you know what? Hey, that wasn't the only leaked trailer to come out this past week. X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men, save the day, save the day. X-Men.
And we got a whole bunch of Magneto shots.
Magneto's horse.
Shut up.
Do you know that Reed Richards defeated Magneto with a wooden gun once? Did you know this?
Why did you need to bring that up?
I guess I saw the video for the first time last night.
Shut up. And so, yeah, so the X-Men Day of the Future Past.
Why does Professor Xavier Younger look like Charles Manson?
Because he's Charlie, and he leads a cult of youthful loners. Think about that one.
Can I just say, I am... I don't know what kind of chamber they entered, or like how they're. So apparently we got an idea what the story is on how they're gonna. Apparently, Wolverine, they're to stop the Sentinels from kicking their asses. The Sentinels must be kicking their asses.
Yeah, because Days of Future Past happens, and they bring Wolverine, and they're like, "Hey, dude, shit's fucked up. So you need to go back to the past and change what happened so that we don't wind up here. And that's basically the premise of the movie. What that event is hasn't been said.
Which is the creation of the Sentinels. That's what it is. So it has to be.
No, there was an event that catalyzes the creation of the Sentinels into
It was probably like the murder of like
Senator Bolivar. Kelly.
No, because he's
already remember,
very early on in sequel talks for the first class, I think it was Matthew Vaughn said he would love a scene where Magneto killed JFK by
it can't be Senator Kelly because we get Senator Kelly in X-Men 1, he's already old man, so it can't be Senator Kelly.
Kelly in the past.
He only becomes rise to prominence from based on the movies in the early 2000s. Based on if that movie's still in that same timeline.
We don't know that. We only know what we saw when we came into X-Men 1.
So you think was he a politician circa 1970?
We don't know that. This is a completely new timeline and events, so we have no idea. Kelly, that's all I'm saying.
What we're led to believe is this. The X-Men movies which we have seen is the events leading up to the Days of Future Past, and some sort of catalyst from that timeline back in the past caused the future. So they basically, it's like Doc Brown in Back in the Future. They skew off and make an alternate timeline of what happens, pretty much, from a certain point in time.
Fassbender seems to be using his Magneto powers, apparently. He's not wearing the costume, though.
Which is, thank God, because he looked...
No, fuck off. I wanted him in costume.
Fuck you. He looks stupid in that costume.
This is coming...
Wait a minute. The yellow or the purple Magneto?
The one at the end where he went to the end of the movie with the helmet? I wanted that.
He looks fucking goofy, okay? They should have just gave him a reworked version of Ian McKellen's costume.
Because it was the 60s. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
I'll say this. I'm disappointed that, once again, Wolverine is the center.
Thank
you.
No. I'm not talking about I don't want him in the movie. What I'm saying is
he's the focal point. Yeah.
We have Kitty Pryde. We don't necessarily have Rachel, but that would be an interesting thing. They could work something out where it's not Wolverine that goes back in time. Yeah, I mean, really, come on, seriously?
What they said is that they're not physically sending him back in time. They're sending his mind
back into exactly.
Whereas that wouldn't work if it was old school time travel where they would just pop in a teleporter and then go out. That would work, but
that's how they did it in the comic. They sent Kitty Pryde's mind back into her younger body.
But in this universe, how old would Kitty Pryde be in 1970s, or would she even be alive?
You know, right, you would think fair. With someone that's, like that's Bishop fair. Hanging if around, it, they could have time travel.
If it was like Magneto, but then you ruin Fassbender's story arc. And maybe they think Wolverine's the only person who's... Which also raises the question, Charles Xavier must have known. This is the same fucking guy I met all those times ago. He must have known.
Also, wait a minute, now that I think about it, this should be a Wolverine without metal.
It has to be. Either way, because if he goes in the past, he's going to have without the metal.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he's gone through the process yet. If we're talking, about the 70s, I believe he goes.
Yeah, we don't know when.
Go ahead.
He cameoed in the first class, so, whatever they do with that.
But that was like, mid-late 60s? This is decidedly 70s. You know, it might even be the very early 80s. But I'm thinking like maybe about 76 to 78.
Not that beard in those clothes. Nuh-uh. Not that beard in those clothes. Holy shit.
That's kind of tail-endish. It's a transitional area. So, we're talking the long hair, and I think, what's his name, had a mustache.
You don't even realize the futility of what you're talking about when timeline is concerned. These guys don't give a shit about this timeline. You're talking about a timeline where this movie is supposed to bridge Singer's X-Men and the First Class universe, right? Right?
Okay. Right.
But in Singer's universe, Bolivar Trask is a heavyset black man working for the government, and in this universe...
This is also in X-Men 2, a white dude who's nothing, and then he shows up in X-3, so fuck it. Your argument is invalid. Who says that's not Boulevard Trust? There's no order to this timeline. It is chaos. Because that's not fair. Singer, it's not like they fucking knew 10 years ago, hey, we're gonna do a Days of Future Past movie. They didn't fucking know. It was just a name that people would freak out over. That was it. Jesus.
This is worse than the fucking Emma Frost debacle. Oh,
that was stupid because they promote that. No, because it's different. It's different. You should discredit If I was an X-Men fan, and I am an X-Men fan, I would not, like, anything that shows up, like, that's a reference to them, I wouldn't even count it anymore. It's just a name. Doesn't mean shit anymore. Especially now with this whole timeline. Yeah. Especially considering Peter Dinklage is now playing Boulevard Trask. So.
Apparently, Denial's not just a referring Egypt. Awesome.
But no, I mean, I'm excited. But you know, we didn't get any Sentinel action. The trailer cuts off a little bit, but I like that Fassbender is gonna kick some ass. Not a lot of the young X-Men, the first class kids.
Not surprising.
We saw more of the X-Men from the future. Obviously, we saw Iceman and Kitty Pryde.
Because that's gonna be the hook. They're gonna sell this movie as that, and it's gonna.
But the thing is, most of the younger kids have shown up in set photos, not entirely trailer shots. Because remember, there was Lucas Till as Havoc. He was in a set photo they shot. And they showed Beast in the photo with the incredibly 70s Charlie Xavier and Wolverine. They showed Mystique, obviously.
I honestly think that the movie's
the only ones really missed were Banshee. Banshee was kind of absent from this. And I think there was a couple other people.
Most of that first movie revolves around Charles and Magneto and Eric anyways, and those kids didn't exactly get the strongest character development outside of Mystique and Beast.
That one was clearly about Charles and Eric's relationship.
They had some like nice battle sequences, and that's what they're going to be used for here. We're not going to get nice character development with those kids.
Look, all I can say is this. As long as I get at least 5 minutes of Storm doing something, I'm good.
You're going to get
Give
four and a half.
Give me Halle Berry as Storm, blast something, and then she can fly off. And then we can all think, she's off doing something.
You want to know what happened when the toad gets struck by lightning? Same thing as everything else.
That's the
yes! Give me good lines like that.
I love that line. Shut up.
That was the stupidest line ever.
And it signified the character because, you know, Storm in the movie sucked.
Hey, that's because Singer didn't know how to write her. That's all.
She didn't know how to write fucking Wolverine either. Or Jean Grey. Or Scott Summers.
No, Scott Summers is the biggest, because he doesn't get shit in those movies. Like,
that's why he got killed off in the first 5 minutes of the third film.
Yeah. No, that could have been his time. It should have been his time. He should have been the one.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I know, it's fucking stupid. Another reason why
Death
that movie sucks.
Scott Summers.
Anyway, and...
Question.
Yes.
How is Havoc born in, like, the... late 40s, early 50s?
See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about?
Well, maybe...
When does Vulcan show up? That's what I want to know. When does Vulcan...
Oh, please don't remind me of Vulcan.
Vulcan never shows up because Vulcan's
seriously
too good.
Where's Corsair? He should be out there wondering, what happened to my children? My son is dead.
I wouldn't mind seeing us. You know what? Wouldn't it be cool to see the, like... You know what I would love, even though this is Guardians of the Galaxy style,
Starjammer show up.
Starjammer show up in Guardians of the Galaxy, Corsair, and that Beast chick or whatever.
No, fuck that. I want the Starjammers to show up in this shit.
Oh.
That's right.
That'd be funny.
But it makes no sense, Taser.
Anything makes sense anyways.
It doesn't have to make sense.
It's fucking
comic
books.
Yeah, I guess you're
anyways,
right.
Let's move on. Anything before we move on, any last second words?
The trailer was awesome.
Yeah, the Guardians
from
of the Galaxy
got
awful. And those suits still fucking suck.
I'm really excited for X-Men Days of Future
Past. No, so am I. I'm absolutely excited for it.
I can't wait to see Fassbender.
Yeah, I want to see that hairdryer Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We didn't get any Sentinel action, which is good, because they're probably not done with the animation yet.
Yeah, because they're not done doing the hair. You know, it's just everybody on a conveyor belt. I whip my chest around. Ooh.
Got to get 70s porn stats right.
I can't wait to see, like... They're all immediately going to call Wolverine crazy. You're fucking crazy, mate.
Mate, what the fuck? What'd you just say?
You're fucking crazy, mate. Mate.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Nobody hears Australian except
for Wolverine. Australian.
You're fucking crazy, Chop. You're fucking crazy. You hear this wanker over here? He's crazy.
Oh my god, stop talking.
Whatever. Okay, well, let's move on to the comics, the one you talk about the most. Okay.
God. Yeah, we're a comic show, aren't we?
This is what fucking happens when it becomes Marvel Entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is now time for our Book of the Week of the evening. It is now time for yet another Marvel event, as I am the biggest hypocrite on this podcast panel. Mm-hmm. Our Book of the Week this week, his first time up to bat, Mr. Jonathan Hippen writing with beautiful pencils by Jimmy Chung. Sounds like Jimmy Chung's Infinity, part 1 of 6. I will say that... Fuck it, I can't do the entire review.
You missed the, 9 other crossovers you forgot to include in that 1 of 6 part, but I'll forgive you for it.
It was only one issue. The only one issue that the whole thing's come out.
Did you see the little crossover map they give you at the back of the book?
It's two extra books, prick. It's not like it's whole fucking...
No. It's like 4 extra issues per book, okay?
It's Blackest Night all over again.
Well, duh. Let's see. Okay, fuck it. We'll talk about it at the end. Okay, so here we are. Infinity number 1. We've known about this for, a year, maybe?
Yeah, about that. Since Free Comic Book Day, at least. Maybe a little before that. No, we've known that.
Okay. So this is Infinity Part 1 of 6. This is Jonathan Hickman's first go-around at the event table. I am very happy to say that the art was beautiful. And I know you, Brian, at least can agree with me that Jimmy Chung
is unparalleled.
Fucking on fire in this issue. This wasn't like him being rushed on Avengers Children's Crusade. He had a long time to work on these pages. And this is like, outside of the horrible costume designs he had to deal with the Avengers characters, this is great. I like that I could tell that this was Hickman, that this was still him. Like, if you read any of his FF work, Secret Warriors, or his indie work, this is still him, which is something unfortunate that doesn't happen in event books where some writers change how they write, especially with the white title card signifying factor changes. So needless to say, here we are. The story is, obviously, you guys are following New Avengers. They've been blowing up worlds, apparently, parallel worlds that are impending doom on ours. Thanos is doing something with Glavius Crave?
Something like that, yeah.
I want to say this. Whoever designed these new villains or characters, I love their fucking design sense. I don't know what it is about him. But apparently Thanos is on with these people, and he acquires tribute, which was really creepy. I love that sequence at the beginning where it's like, do you remember what this person did? Well, we fucking killed him. Now give me your...
What?
So Thanos sends these mercenaries, assassins, who are invisible and to all forms of technology, and including one to Black Bolt, trying to gather information for... We don't really get a purpose unless I read it wrong. Did I read it wrong?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Meanwhile, in a galaxy far, far away... it's funny, because Marvel owns Star Wars now. Disney owns Star Wars now. The builders are quickly laying waste to the Space Knights, which apparently made a lot of people happy. Then I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is. And they are annihilating...
A lot of people happy? I would think the exact opposite.
What, the Space Knights being annihilated?
Yeah, a lot of people still remember Rom Space Knight.
Well, no, I mean, in fact, that they were seen again. And according to Tom
Brevoort... Okay, all right, fair enough.
Well, and according to the editor, Tom Brevoort, we're going to see more Space Knights down the road. Who knows? So they are basically wrecking havoc. And Captain Universe, who I remember from, is somehow... I guess she can be in everywhere at once kind of thing. I guess that's her shtick.
Because she's Captain Universe.
Okay. Did that page where just before their world was wiped out, did that thing look like Galactus or what?
Hold on.
Energy beam? The tendrils?
Ah, okay. It looked like Galactus, if anything.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Jesus.
He's not. Okay, so meanwhile, and then of course, I like that the first opening sequence, we don't see the Avengers. We build the threat. You show who the threat is. You show what they're facing against. Build this sense of great action dread. I like that. Moving on. We get some nice Avenger action. Hawkeye and Captain America in their stupid costumes, respectively. Of course, we have the assassin looking up the mind of Black Bolt, discovering him and his wives. One of them is a horse? Whatever.
You're choosing now to question that? They've been around for, like, over a year?
Whatever. So, I don't...
She's a crimp.
She's a fucking
remember
horse.
Remember Power Pack? You had the horse crimp that gave you
she's
to get
a
your
horse. Anyways.
you're a horse.
So, apparently, ex-Nilo is working with S.H.I.E.L.D. now? Or S.W.O.R.D.? When did this happen?
That would have to happen in Avengers, because I haven't been reading it.
So, and apparently, they're trying to figure out what the fuck happened with Captain Universe, and they've received a transmission that the Builders are destroying shit, and of course, one of them looks, I guess, ex-Nihilo is, like, sort of that same sort of frame rate? Not frame rate, that's sort of, like,
frame rate
section, like, they're sort of the same thing, but just different universes, I don't know how to explain it, but it's clearly of the same type. And this has ex-Nilo freaking the fuck out. And apparently, because they were doing a raid on Skrulls, and apparently, like, everybody is sort of, like, mobilizing. The Shi'ar, the Skrulls, what's left of the Skrulls, rather. They're all mobilizing. And, of course, and they all, S.W.O.R.D. does a trajectory and realizes that just like in this Greek Skrull War, Earth is basically, because Earth is all the center of the universe, that they are heading right this way. And shit's going to hit the fan if we don't do something fast. So, I love that Black Bolt ripped off the assassin's arm. That was nice. I don't think that Black Bolt's super strong. I just think that assassin's not built for any kind of combat at all. And so it was nice to see Black Bolt kick ass, especially with the scream. You don't get to see him use his power a lot. And now apparently Thanos now knows about the Illuminati and what happens to the Infinity Gems. So, and you know with Thanos, the Infinity Gems are always, especially since Infinity Gauntlet, will always play a role in his story, whether you like it or not. So now we have our forward moving going in the back, in that Earth knows, S.W.O.R.D. knows, and the Avengers know that there is a huge-ass invasion force coming this way, and that if this invasion force was to come to the Earth, basically, the human race would be annihilated. The Avengers cannot, at this point, they cannot stop them, so they decide they are going to head them off. Meanwhile, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron, in this horrible fucking costume man, decides, I'm going to prepare for the worst, and I'll stay here. You guys just go win this thing. And so you have that. Meanwhile, we close our book with introducing Thanos' lieutenants, who I love their names, with Proxima Midnight, Black Dwarf, the Ebony Maw, and finally, Supergiant, which sounds very, very Sentai to me. Corvius Glaive suggests to Thanos that, what will please my master? Earth will please me. And so he suggests to Earth, and I don't know about you guys, but I laughed out loud when I said, when basically they said was this, Earth, fuck that. You know how many people fucking failed there? Are you kidding me? We can't do this. Game over, man. Game over. Fuck this. Which I loved. But
they went Bill Pullman on it, yeah. Pretty messed up.
Which is funny. I laughed that they actually acknowledged that nothing ever goes right for them on Earth. I like that. That was kind of a real inside joke. But apparently, the assassin was able to get the words he needs, or through a spy, that brothers and sisters, sharpen your teeth, prepare to consume a great meal. Earth, you see, has no Avengers. And I gotta ends finally. The issue ends with that creepy, evil smile of Thanos, knowing that it's meal time. Are y'all freaked out by Thanos' smile? I'm freaked out. I whimpered a little bit when he smiled. I'm like. That's the face of evil.
It was certainly creepy. I mean, that being said, it didn't outright terrify me, because honestly, Thanos hasn't done anything yet to have me terrified of him.
Well, it's the implication that he is Thanos, and that now that the main Avengers team is gone, there is almost nobody to stop him. That's the implication.
No, I mean, I get that. It's just, Thanos hasn't done anything yet. It's kind of hard to be scared when, there's nothing to back it up.
Well, he's creepy. It's a creepy smile. Point is, it's a creepy smile.
He's going to invade Earth. Come on, that's bad enough. The guy's moved from being a nihilist to being, I don't know what the hell is going on here. Hickman actually has me intrigued, because through most of Thanos' existence. He's been, yes, I must kill people so that Lady Death will love me. Well, that's no longer the case now. I didn't read how he came back in, what was it, Avengers Assemble, so I don't know what went on there. And
there he was, I wouldn't acknowledge that because...
Yeah, it's, well, but I mean, that's the only way for him to be back because other than that, he'd still be in the Cancerverse.
You're right, but in terms of character, I wouldn't look for a characterization because he was just basically like, that wasn't written for us. I'll say that.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is here, for the most part, Thanos up until that point, Thanos had been kind of like, okay, let me just be over here minding my own business, and I'm not trying to mess with nobody. Don't fuck with me, though. Now we've got Thanos who's got some kind of game plan for something, you know, and usually Thanos has been a very good planner. You know, he's quiet, he keeps to himself, and he observes, kind of like Doom.
He looks like he was doing that in the issue outside of invading Earth.
Right, exactly. He's looking for something, and that's going to lead to something else. That's got me intrigued. However, I'm kind of annoyed the fact that, well, they needed a big bad, I guess, for this, and Hickman decided to use Thanos. I kind of like the fact that Thanos had mostly retreated from the galactic, the universal stage. You know, he fuck all of that noise. What I wanted, I can't have, so whatever.
Well,
I don't know what's going on here, but, you know, even though Hickman's using him here, I'm intrigued by it. Okay, fine. I just have a problem with things like Black Bolt letting the assassin get away.
I don't think he... Well, he could have blasted
Watched
him.
Well, if he had whistled in the guy's direction, he would have been toast. I mean...
Exactly. He hit a bunch with the stop, and then he watched him fall onto his ship, climb inside of it, the ship flies away, and Black Bolt watches.
Yeah, see, there's like the thing that Ben said where it's like, it's odd to see Black Bolt directly confront someone because, you know, he's like the guy sitting at the back of the club all silent and shit. Like, you don't approach him, but you know if shit goes down, he's going to get involved. And the other side of it is he just lets the guy go. He doesn't get involved, which is kind of messed up because this is Black Bolt.
No, he got involved enough to chase him to the point where he could say stop and he got hit.
I guess.
Remember, he used... Yeah, but...
Right,
I'm...
yeah.
So, I mean, what... That's like... Okay, that's like Superman chasing a guy down an alley, and the guy jumps in a manhole and then pulls the cover on top of him and continues running, and Superman goes, oh, damn, it's covered with lead. Fuck it, I can't see where he went. I don't know what to do now. You know, Black Bolt can fly.
Right. Yeah.
I would think that he's perplexing him like, did he just got what I thought he got?
No, okay, so then... The assassin manages to get to wherever the hell, back to Titan, and Black Bolt with Lockjaw doesn't show up at all. There are things going on here that I just don't get. Also, Hickman made the Builders the oldest race in the universe. Wasn't that the Celestials for like the last, 40 fucking years?
I don't fucking know.
You know this more than I do.
I'm just saying. So, you know, there's just things that Hickman's doing because, well, this is the story that I want to tell and I'm going to tell it. Regardless of what's happened before, I don't care. And, you know, unfortunately, in this case, you kind of have to suck it up and accept it. And I, as much as I really don't want to because I hate it like that, the storyline does have me interested. But, you know, it's just these little things that are just bugging the hell out of me, and just fucking why, you know? And the Avengers, all right, I can accept in this context the Avengers would be the big shit that would stop basically anything, but you know, there's a whole lot of superhumans on the planet Earth. The Avengers would not necessarily be, I'm sure the Fantastic Four have got quite a good knowing, you know, on the galactic stages, you know. They've got Human Torch and Reed Richards. Holy shit, Reed Richards!
We know Reed Richards is going to be involved because of the Illuminati stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if the Skrull still worship him as like the Destroyer of Worlds. That would be funny to see.
That ought to be interesting. And I also kind of hope that Hickman decides to resolve that issue with, I think, Reed sending the time gem away. Because notice that's the one gem that didn't destroy. It just kind of disappeared.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I kind of hope that that gets resolved here, or if not, I want to see what he does with that, because removing the gems from easy use, that was a very good and a very good idea, but it also kind of pissed me off that they just kind of went, oh shit, this strain, kaplooey. Like, really? You know, but whatever. This was a good book. I got to be honest, this was a good book, and that it has my interest. I can't say the writing was all that great, but my interest is there at least for the next issue.
I think if you're not a person who doesn't know a lot of this stuff, you'll be fine and think it's a great issue. I think
exactly. That's kind of the problem.
If you've
never read anything before.
That's how Marvel always gears their events too. They gear it to people like to the guy who maybe has never That's what they do. That's what they've always done ever since Civil War.
I don't know about that. Infinity Gauntlet wasn't like that.
I said since Civil War.
Okay. Ever since
Marvel became super event crazy with Civil War in 06.
And they've been doing movies. There you go.
Well, yeah, that too. So they want, and they know, especially with their brand of stronger people, they just want. I think they want to make it more. Because he didn't
newbie, you know, accessible.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fair enough.
Which it was. I mean, hey, it worked. I got into mainstream Marvel because of Civil War. Maybe it might work for somebody else. Who knows? And then they'll go back and like realize this is bullshit. In terms of the minute, or either that, or they won't care. Either that, or they won't care. But like Brian, you haven't talked much. Go ahead.
Well, it didn't rip you off for the $4.99 price tag, I guess.
Had a lot of pages, dude. Had a lot of pages.
There was a lot of shit, and it was broken up into like four or five segments. So felt episodic, but it also kind of felt like it was jostling you around. It was trying to get a whole hell of a lot done in one issue, I'll tell you that. The writing, of course, Hickman is top-notch, and Jimmy Chung, his top-notch pencils. And the whole thing with, like, everyone gearing up, it almost felt like almost a Mass Effect moment to me, where you have all these races sort of... Yeah, it's not exactly the same. I mean, obviously there's distinct differences, but it felt like that moment, and I'm not sure
There's something coming, and we can't stop it alone.
We may not.
Where's Commander Shepard when we need him?
That's what I'm asking myself.
That's Captain America right there.
This guy is like a living Reaper. Thanos is not to be fucked with.
They're not fighting Thanos. They're gonna go fight the Builders.
Right.
Thanos is it's a two-war front. That's what this whole book's going to be about.
Oh, yeah. I mistook the names. Mr. Signaled or whatever, okay? Anyway.
Fuck you.
That works even better, actually. I got taken off course because it's almost like genetic tampering. It's messing with the species. So, you know, it's even more parallels to be drawn. I honestly think Hickman might have just sat down and played Mass Effect and was like, this is okay. I might turn this into a comic book. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I'm going to do it, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, as I pointed out, there was a lot of tie-ins. I'm not so sure I'm going to be on board for each and every one.
I wouldn't. So, I'll tell you this right now. Just if you're already reading New Avengers, sir, you're already reading one of them. The only thing you really need is because Hickman's writing it himself is Avengers. And even then, I don't think you'll need it.
But that means buying Avengers and Infinity and New, and it's just, it seems like a kind of a hefty investment, and I'm a little bit concerned.
Okay, let's get it this way. You're buying one extra fucking book.
Yeah, but that's a lot of books. I mean, I already buy a lot of books as it is.
Then
but...
fucking ask Taser for a copy.
Maybe I'll do Taser, you can hook me up, right?
I'll hook you up.
Either way, look, all I'm saying, that's not the point I'm trying to make here. The point is, this whole thing, I'm a little bit concerned. Like, say someone decided not to pick up Avengers or New Avengers. I'm a little bit concerned they're going to miss out on a chunk of the story that's essential, and that shouldn't be the case. The essential story should run throughout Infinity.
Which I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will, but if you want the extra juicy stuff, the only necessary juicy stuff, much like with Blackest Night, only book you really needed, other if you wanted more, but you don't need it, was Green Lantern. Whereas here, it's the same thing. You just got to buy two extra books in the first one. It's the same principle.
Fair enough.
You just got schooled.
Buy a Mexican? I don't think so.
Oh!
Anyway, I didn't think it was a bad read.
Aaron Hernandez says hi.
Aaron Hernandez. Well, you just proved you're a murderer, too, so there's that going for you. But regardless.
He's not even Mexican, I don't think.
Hernandez? Are you kidding me?
No. How do you know he's not Puerto
Rican?
How do you know exactly? How do you know he's not Puerto? How do you know he's not Puerto Rican?
So wait, then Zoe Saldana is Puerto Rican. You claim her as being like Spanish or whatever.
She's not Puerto Rican. She's Colombian.
Yeah.
No, she's Dominican and Puerto Rican.
I said Latina, not whatever. Shut up. Move on.
I thought it was decent for what it was. I'm a little bit. I don't know. And something about this just bugs me. I'm not sure if I'm gonna be sticking with this throughout. But I mean, and there's something in the pit of my stomach that just knows after this event there's gonna be fallout, and
then it'll probably
lead right into a next big event, which I'm not sure I'm gonna be on board for.
Duh. Have we not been here? This is fucking Marvel Comics. They fucking did it with Age of Ultron. They're gonna do it here.
So then you understand how my fears are justified.
Well, either way.
What was the branch off from Age of Ultron?
What do you mean? The ramifications?
Yeah.
Hulk, Agent of Time, Galactus invading the Ultimate Universe, time
being... Okay, so basically, if you're not reading the Ultimate Universe, there are no ramifications.
No, I said Indestructible Hulk. That's not an Ultimate Universe book.
Taser, he's right in that there was an Avengers AI bullshit, too.
And there's Avengers AI, too. Yeah, that's a fallout from that book.
Yeah, they die, but that's not,
Plus, technically, time stream is broken, so whatever.
All right.
Look, I'm not saying it was a bad read. I actually enjoyed it.
No, I'm just like busting your balls.
I'm just not sure from an economic standpoint I'm going to be sitting in the whole time with this.
No, that I get. There's especially in September,
October, shit.
Fuck DC's Villains Month. I'm only buying one of them.
Yeah,
and that's because it's my job. But, you're an Image Comics fan as well. So like, there's a whole bunch of that stuff coming out too.
Yeah, I buy a whole shit of indie books and I buy DC. And
so I can understand that. But for me, it's like I'm still a Marvel whore at the center. So
fair enough.
Marvel's gonna if it's. I've told myself I'll say this before we move on. This issue, first issue, reminded me of how much I love Final Crisis number one.
Then you're insane, because that was an awful fucking book.
I love.
As a matter of fact, that kind of ruins your whole theory about not needing anything else beyond Final Crisis.
But you needed
Superman Beyond to fucking understand how to.
That's because DC Comics wouldn't give Grant Morrison the two fucking extra issues.
Well, that's because they were pricks.
That's not his fault.
They gave him 8 years off fucking Batman. By the way,
it should have been a 9-issue series. That shit should have been in the beginning. So
first of all, Final Crisis was fucking awful anyway.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
It was.
Genius.
It didn't make any sense in the end. The ending was fucked
because
up.
Because you're simplified.
Can we just score this bitch and move on to individual reviews?
I give it a 5 out of
5. Some bitches.
I give it a 5 out of 5. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Oh my god.
I am very excited. Give me Final Crisis Part 2.
Somebody knows who's swinging from his penis.
I'll give it a 4.
Hey, Jonathan Hickman, can I suck your...
Hickman is a disciple of Morrison. He said that a lot. So there.
Well, Morrison needs to clean up his fucking act then and live up to the reputation his predecessor has beheld in him, too.
Oh!
So fuck you. 4 out of 5.
You mad, bro?
Perfect, but
you mad?
It entertained me, and that's enough.
I'm going to get in your face like that Seahawks quarterback did to Tom Brady. You mad, bro? You mad,
bro? Yeah, didn't he get busted for, like, a drug possession later on or something?
I'm not a Seahawks fan. I don't give a fuck. You shouldn't be talking either, considering your tight end is arrested for murder charges.
Oh!
What the fuck am I supposed to do? Hey, at least one of my teams has a chance at making postseason this year.
Hey, who has a Super Bowl? Hey, who has a Super Bowl within the past 5 years? Suck it, bitch. Anyways.
Hey, 3 rings in 4 years, bitch. When your precious team can pull that off,
let me know. Okay, before we move on, because we need to move on.
Oh, yeah, you don't even rep Texas. You rep Green Bay. Traitor.
Nice. Because I'm going to fucking root for the Dallas
Cowboys.
Get
out of here. Get out of here.
All right.
Chaos, everybody. Chaos.
All right. Oh, by the way, Wes, because I know you're listening, Eli Manning still sucks.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
I am reviewing Wolverine number 8, the first chapter.
I didn't get to review it. I didn't give a score.
Oh, I thought you did.
Yeah, ask Taser his score.
What did you think? Okay, my Lord of Death, what did you think?
Like I said earlier, I agree with Bri. It was a good read. It held my interest. It wasn't perfect. Was far from it. I liked the fact that he actually broke it up into chapters. That shit tickled me. You know.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what he does in all of his books. You know?
Well, not well. Oh, Fair enough. But now I'll give it the same thing that Brad Bright gave it. I'll give it 4 out of 5 warriors.
This is going to be AVX all over
again. Book will keep me there for the next one. I don't think I'm going to be reading all the any extra shit aside from New Adventures, which I'm reading already. But yeah, pick this up.
All right, so there you go. And I am reviewing, because the Wolverine number 8, written by Paul Cornell, drawn by the legendary artist Alan Davis. Love me some Alan Davis. I didn't know he was on this book until I read, apparently he was on this book for a couple of issues. So anyways, this is Killable Part 1, the biggest Wolverine story in years, whatever. And basically, Wolverine has lost his healing factor through a mind-controlling viral entity from the Microverse. Yeah, because this is because Paul Cornell likes to remind you this is a comic book and we're gonna be silly, which I love. Fuck it. If you're gonna have him lose his healing factor, do it that way. It doesn't say specifically how, and so they believe that this viral entity, this mind controlling viral entity, is gonna start controlling everybody, and they think Black Panther T'Challa, they think T'Challa is already possessing this. So what you have is a series of. One of the first, the title card page is Alan Davis drawing Wolverine's adamantium skull just there. I'm like, that's kind of creepy. It's like Terminator-esque, but with all his teeth, which I'm like, how does that work? So Wolverine is vulnerable. He's without his healing factor, and they're working with S.H.I.E.L.D., and Black Nick Fury's here, and they think this host, that's what they call him, they've stolen Wolverine's healing factor. And they're trying to sort of spread what they're doing. And a nice little open mitt in the fact that Wolverine actually has a bandage over his face. And, you can still see the cut there. And so they devise a plan. They're trying to infiltrate Wakanda. And Wolverine volunteers to basically distract T'Challa while they do their thing. And try to still act like the badass Wolverine that he is. And so he basically just improvs the issue. In the sense that, he fights them, even withdraws his claws. Meanwhile, Dr. Victoria Frankenstein, yes, of that Frankenstein, teams up with Storm and Black Nick Fury to infiltrate Wakanda and see if they can stop this virus from spreading. Nice, very fun, entertaining action sequence between T'Challa and Black Panther. I don't ever think I've seen these two fight, which was kind of cool to see this. You have the animal, visceral machine Wolverine versus the agile T'Challa Black Panther, so that was cool.
Who won?
It was a draw. Black Panther knew that.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't. It was Wolverine wasn't trying to kill him, and Black Panther wasn't possessed at all, but he suspects other people within his camp are possessed, so it was just sort of okay, I'm gonna punch. You counter. But, they didn't know. So it was just, but it was just cool to see them interact, because I don't think I've ever
seen.
It was one of those. So we finally get Storm joins up, and this is after apparently that T'Challa had banned. And so he says to her, "Finally, I know it took you. I know it took a lot to break your word. Be free of that obligation now." So basically, I think he looks like he's forgiven Storm.
What?
He's smiling underneath the mask too.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, because it's he looks pissed when she first descends down. So, yeah, no, if you were looking for marital spat between these two, nah, nothing.
That's,
We didn't even get a divorce court scene. Come on now.
I would have had her suffer the fiercest Black Panther kick to the jaw ever.
No, what was it? Is it because she was with the X-Men? Was that why?
Yes. Yes. And she was on their side when Namor came in and did whatever. Yeah, Namor came in and went, "Hey, look, water."
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. They captured the host and so they're trying to figure out what to do. Meanwhile, In a very comic, I'm not going to lie, it was a very comical last page. Wolverine gets a text message on his phone, and Mystique is at the Jean Grey Institute. What is it called? The Jean Grey School, with a fucking katana ready to kill everybody, apparently. Don't know why she's there. But yeah, she's apparently gonna kill everybody. She has like
Alan
Davis, like very like she sent a picture to Wolverine's phone of her like hands on her lips, with the big ass katana in her hand with the kids, implicating that I'm gonna kill all of them. So I don't know what to make of this. It was very fun to see Black Panther and Wolverine interact, which I told Taser that. I told y'all that a second ago. Alan Davis, while he's great, there were some panels in here, especially some weird anatomy choices with Wolverine in terms of when it came to the action sequences. I don't understand the plot. I feel that you need to have been reading this a couple of issues, not necessarily from the beginning, but from the at least 2 issues ago. I feel like I missed something. Which, if you're going to start an arc called Killable, I would think, you know, you would have should have done a better job to incorporating new readers, you know, especially since something like Killing Wolverine is going to draw attention.
I actually have a question about that real quick.
Yeah.
Does this fit into current continuity? Like, is that where it's fitting into?
It really doesn't, because it just drops you in that he's already on a mission, so it doesn't reference, like, the X-Men or anything.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing so far, other than that the Jean Grey school apparently is intact, but you only see 2 students, and they're not even notable students. So
okay, because that's gonna—I was about to say—that's kind of awkward given the developments in my book. But whatever, move on.
I'm sure they'll reference things. The thing is, but you know, the things that happen in Wolverine's book and Wolverine's titles rarely get referenced in X-Men titles.
That's true.
So heck, when he killed his own kids, even though they weren't his kids, they weren't referenced unless you knew it. So no, I mean, I give it a 3 out of 5. It was interesting. I doubt I'll be back for the next issue though, unless it's like I have like 2 books out, which I doubt is going to happen. I won't be picking up the next issue. All right, T-Man, bring on the Rock with Thor, God of Thunder, number 11.
All right, let me say this from the jump. I wasn't reading this book. I'm doing this because JV, as you can tell, it was not here, and he wanted somebody to pick up the slack. So, since I didn't really have anything to review, I decided to take it upon myself to do so. And I'll just read you the synopsis so we're all brought up to speed in a proper manner. Gore, the God Butcher, made it his life's purpose to kill all of divinity. Blah, 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 he makes a bomb, blah, blah, blah. Thor goes and decides to gather other Thors to help stop the guy who would kill all gods everywhere at any time. This bomb would explode throughout time, forward and backwards, killing anybody and anything that had ever been or will be called a god. Interesting. I got to say that's... Yeah.
It is an interesting plot.
It was. So, you know, and at some point, Thor hooks up with young brash Thor without Mjolnir, old King Thor with one eye and he has Mjolnir. Young Thor has that God Butcher thing that he had him and
the
Loki
axe,
made. And the axe that showed up in Avengers. Mm-hmm. And... some other people, I don't know, some women and a short...
His granddaughters.
Oh, see, I had no idea who they were.
The 3 warrior women are his granddaughters. And the funny thing is, in a few issues prior, when young Thor showed up at their terrorist camp and they find out who he is, one of them's like, I had impure thoughts about my grandfather.
Well, you never know. Hey, I'm not...
I'm my own yet. Grandpa. He's his own grandpa.
Okay, so what happened? Alongside the surviving deities, the Gore enslaved made their last glory stand against Gore, fighting to the very end.
Ooh.
With the last drop of God's blood he required, Gore triggered the God Bomb. Thor the Avenger faced the bomb head-on, using the combined might of both his and his future selves, Mjolnirs, in a last desperate bid to halt his detonation. But there was no salvation to be had. The God Bomb exploded in a furious black swirl, and all was lost. Or so we thought. God Bomb, part 5 of 5, the last prayer. So apparently the bomb went off last issue. We come here, and first page is a, you know, couple of characters that are like, holy shit, we have to go see the whoever because something bad's about to
choking on their own blood as they go down, you the know, last few remaining
exactly
goths in the present.
Black stuff coming out. Ew, it's spooky and disgusting.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the point, you know, of point zero where the bomb goes off, you see the goddaughter is going flying like, hey!
Oh, no!
And Thor and King Thor and Gore still at the center of it. King mm-hmm. Thor holding Gore, and he's like, I'm still here. Which is, you know, you kind of got to expect because it would be kind of abrupt if both of them died. Even at point blank, ground zero for the bomb that's supposed to kill gods, they're both still alive. Yeah.
Do you have a problem with epic last stands, Mr. Taser?
My problem is this. If this had been a spell that Loki went off, it would have killed them all. But because it's science mixed with some mysticism, well, there's leeway here so that at point blank ground zero for the fucking effect, which we saw actually go out and kill some gods, but these two guys are still alive.
Fair enough.
So then, you know, of course, we've got, you know, old Thor, you know, throttling the guy who's responsible, and he starts to suffer from the effect. But, of course, our Thor, younger Thor, Thor the Avenger, mans up, and he grasps both Mjolnirs. And then he apparently absorbed the effect, which, you know... For pure outright badassery and awesomeness, it should have rang a little more effective with me than it did, because I just couldn't let go of the fact that he was at ground fucking zero, man. If he was like a distance away, I could accept it, but he was at ground zero, but whatever. So he slams the two hammers together, and he absorbs it within himself, okay? And he's basically covered in black. And, you know, there's a shot of, Odin in the present day in the space where Asgard used to be. And we get, hear the prayer of Odin. Do not fall, my son. Be the savior of us all. Odin, who's just going to, you know, stay there because, well, I've been a bad boy and I need to keep myself.
Well, he's got important shit to do. So,
Yes, of course. I have no idea.
He's got brooding he has to do, and he can't be bothered.
I have to stay here because... and
But you go, Thor. You go be the god of gods.
That's right. Be the god of all blackness and raging hammerdom.
So you're god, basically.
Yes. Ha ha. Dripping black eyes and oozing stuff.
Jesus Christ, are we still talking about Thor?
Yeah. Yes. But you know what? I will say, the one panel, and it's just what the whole page is just one panel of him blasting the fuck out of Gore.
Oh yeah.
This deserves to be a poster.
Oh yes.
That really does deserve to be a poster. My God.
It's just like boom.
Glorious image. I can honestly say that made the issue. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? For that matter, I think I need to say this because JV would have. This was written by Jason Aaron and drawn by Esat Ribic. Okay? Normally people I don't really give a rat's ass about, but there you go. Those are the names. And Ive Skorkina. It's something. They were the colorist. Actually, I'll give the colorist a good mention because, yeah, this is a pretty good job. It looks painted, you know, like watercolor.
That's Esat Ribic. That's one of his specialties. And this guy, too. I think he works exclusively with Ribic. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, this is a very good – visually, it's a very good product. I do like that look, you know, that watercoloring thing. Yeah, that's pretty tight. But so, okay, he takes and, you know, he slams – you know, you got the double Mjolnir blast, you know, gore thing, and, you know, Gore's like, and then the son comes up to him going, "Where's it? Who was it that killed my mom?" And he's like, "My son? My son, was it you, father? Or was it something else?" And then he just kind of discombobulates into a dagger, which I don't know what the hell that was about. And everybody else is like, "What the hell did I just see?" And young Thor with the, you know, God-killing axe just goes up and off with his head. Whack, 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 because you have about had enough of that. I kind of like young, arrogant Thor in this manner because it's just funny. He just kind of goes, "Shut up!" Whack with his head.
Thus endeth the tale of the God Butcher. Shall we drink mead and think of ways to defile his ashes?
You know?
No one? Just me?
And then to accentuate the death, Thor pukes up black bile and then dead, only to wake up 3 days later in Asgard of the far future, seat of
King. God dies, then he's resurrected 3 days later. I wonder what Jason Aaron's trying to paint us here. What kind of picture?
Hey, I've never seen Jesus do that before. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. But wait a minute. Jesus did not have blonde hair and 24-inch biceps.
Yeah, but he also promised an end to all wickedness, but Thor and Odin promised an end to all frost giants, and I don't see many frost giants around, do you?
Not in this book, but that doesn't say they're not underground.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, basically, the Thors, you know, drank mead and, you know, they sit around like waiting for Arthur to wake up, and, you know, the Thor Force, and I burned out the last of Gore's sickness inside you. I figured it was in my best interest. Well, yeah. Would you like to see that for which you died? And he takes him outside to see Asgard is alive again, with gods from all over the cosmos.
Yeah. Some had been there so long, he makes a point of saying they don't even remember what worlds they belong to.
Exactly. You know, apparently they were being held captive, and I don't want to go home. Okay, fine. You know, so now it's God World. Hey, look, it's a DC book. Anyway,
oh, hey.
But you know what? I will say the thing that I thought was interesting was that exchange where King Thor is talking about how you'll never be the son that he wants you to be. You know? And yeah. Young Thor, he kind of, you know, looks at, you know, King Thor and, you know, he's got that. And really, if you think about he's not just talking about him. You know, he's not just talking about him, but it was interesting to see King Thor give some cryptic hints about, you know, maybe you want to change, knowing that it's not really going to happen or else, you know, he wouldn't be there if he changed.
Yeah.
You know, but you talk about he's regretful of some of the things that he knows he's done and will end up doing because that's where he is and blah, blah, blah. And that's really it, you know, the three of them, you know, they break camp, the two of them go back in the past, they, you know, they're not going to remember this.
Yeah, which is, I thought, the only real cop-out of this story arc, because, oh, so everything we just saw, it doesn't matter, because they don't remember
it. Of course not. Well, look, they did that in Incredible Hulk.
No, Hulk meets Thor. This was an 11-part epic, and they just, oh, doesn't matter, nobody remembers.
Yes, and it has to be that way, or else, you would end up changing a whole. If you had young Thor acting really mature, then that kind of eliminates a whole lot of stuff up until, you know, Thor is introduced in the comic books.
Although I will say that led to a really nice moment where young Thor returns to Asgard and he goes to Mjolnir. And he try and picks it up, but it doesn't move. But it's like, it moved a little.
It's like, it moved a little bit. See, now, thank you, because I honestly did not get who that was. And I should have been able to tell from the wristbands, but I was like, who the fuck is that? But okay, thank you. That clarifies that.
Because there's a reason there ain't three Mjolnirs flying around in this storyline, you know?
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, good point. Although, you would think that he didn't have it just yet, because I don't think Odin would have made it just yet.
That's true, too. But this sort of paints it as like, well, because would you give Mjolnir to young Thor? He was kind of an ass.
Agreed. I mean, no argument there. None at all.
But I would think that he did learn, regardless of whether or not he remembers, he learned something, which is the good thing. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he learned something that he'll eventually end up forgetting. But he still has, think about it, he doesn't have Mjolnir, but he has the God-killing axe.
What?
Yeah. But he's also too stupid to realize what he did to it until the moment comes when all of a sudden the Apocalypse Twins are upon him. Holy shit. Holy shit. I remember that.
Quite so.
I'm sorry. I kind of did this do a co-review, but I wanted to get those thoughts.
I don't have there. A problem with that because I could have used the help because, like I said, I was not reading this book beforehand. And it finishes off with Thor sitting next to that green girl.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning, I think. The one who answered the call.
Little girl of Indigar. I said I would return to you, and I have. You prayed to me because your world had no gods. That is one prayer I assure you. You never need pray again. And they stare at the Aurora Borealis or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to symbolize that some of the gods who lost their world or whatever show up there. It's kind of like, okay, we'll adopt this. It's our kind of
wank fest, whatever.
Well, regardless, I thought it was a sort of fitting conclusion, if a little bit predictable, maybe a little bit. But, you know, from this point on, you know, now we go back to Earth with Thor, so we'll see what happens there. I'm excited for that.
Well, I can't say that this book made me want to read the further continuing, you know, adventures of whatever the fuck they do with Thor at this point. However, I do think when this comes out in trade, I might look that up. Or I could actually just go back and get the issues individually. But as a trade, if they collected
it
one
the first trade. The God.
No, I think they should collect this in one nice meaty volume.
Oh, I agree, because it's one big story. Yes, I agree.
That I think should be done, or it would be nice to see done.
But they've already released the first hardcover. They already released the first hardcover. The second one's coming out in October.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So I would read, because the first one's I don't know any details of the story, but I know this is basically one big long story, just divided up into two story arcs.
Yeah, he said it was 11 issues, so.
Yeah, so I would recommend, it's called Thor,
God Bomb.
No, the well, God, the God, God, well, the first volume is called The God Butcher.
Yeah,
and then
that
this one's called God Bomb. So I would recommend, if you want a Thor book that's, does its own thing, that, you know, read Thor, God of Thunder by Jason Aaron. It's really good.
Well, all right, to you know, kind of get back to my review. People are always talking on top of me. My God. Anyway, I like this issue. This was a solid read. A very good read. I'm going to give this 4.7 warriors out of 5. The extra 7 comes from that one panel. That I mean, seriously, that was a gosh darn Thor moment.
Hell yeah!
I as much as I will put Simonson's Thor ahead of basically anything else I've read Thor wise, that shit was fucking awesome. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. It was a really good image. I felt it there.
Oh, yeah.
I felt that.
He, like disappears in that blast, man. He's gone.
I can't wait to read it when the hardcover comes out in about 2 months.
This was a good book.
Yeah. So, last but not least, Be Rye with Uncanny X-Men, number 10.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, picking up the strings from last issue, wherein Mystique replaced Dazzler aboard S.H.I.E.L.D. and whatnot, we open up to the new Xavier School for the Gifted, as Cyclops has dubbed it. And he's overseeing a training exercise with Eva, who is a mutant who can control time, and magic. And it's a hand-to-hand drill because, like he says, you know, you can't really depend on your mutant ability all the time. You need to be able to branch out and rely on other things, which is sound reasoning. And what this sort of results in for her is that her abilities expand to the point where they discover she previously only had the ability to seal off an area and sort of freeze it in time, and nothing can get in or out.
And now we realize after battling magic, sort of a reflex that happens is she seals magic inside a time bubble and just kind of disappears her. And everyone's kind of like, what did she just do? I don't know. Where's magic? Did you know you could do that? Did you do that on purpose? And it's like, no, I didn't. Oh, God, no, I didn't. And they're kind of freaking out. It's like, okay, who do we call about this? Who can we trust with this? And then Cyclops kind of like, well, we got to kind of go to Reed Richards for this. This is interdimensional and time travel, all that good stuff. Next thing you know, poof, she appears. And she turns out she was just teleported a minute into the future. So we get that she now is sort of, this Eva girl is expanding her abilities and learning at a faster rate than even Cyclops thought, you know, they could do. But he holds it true as a point of where it's like, see, your abilities can do more than just what you think. It's not just on the surface. But that's not the important thing. The important thing happens with Magneto, who was apparently installed as sort of a triple agent. It's initially when it started out, he'd gone to S.H.I.E.L.D. as like, he as someone who wants to bring Scott Summers down for tampering with his powers and stuff. But then he double-crossed S.H.I.E.L.D., but it turns out he was actually working for S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole time, and he came back with hat in hand. He's like, okay, I'll work with you seriously, but, you know, something's got to change. And so he meets with Maria Hill, and they have some of that classic Brian Michael Bendis repetition of banter of certain key phrases and stuff, and they do repeat a lot of what they say, and Maria Hill especially. And it sort of winds up where it's like Maria Hill, after what happened with them laying siege to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Helicarrier, sort of just like brushes them off and sort of says, now, anything you have to say to me now, whether it's useless or, you know, actually useful, you say to Dazzler. And Dazzler is now your liaison between Scott Summers' Magneto's operation, Scott Summers' operation, and S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you pay attention, you know it's not Dazzler who's pulling the strings. Now, that's Mystique under that incredibly, incredibly Emma Frost look-alike body. But I digress. Anyway, so Magneto's sort of left holding his hand, holding his hat in hand. It's kind of like, you know, if you have something, Maria Hill, of course, delivers an ultimatum. You know, you came to me. If you have something to say, say it now, or you're pretty much just, you know, sort of like off in the corner. And Magneto holds her, is like, okay, hold on. And then we cut back to Scott Summers' super high-tech institute where they're observing a rally for pro-mutant college students at University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. And they're all just kind of looking at this. And, of course, 60s Angel, of course, being time to place, he left with Scott, and he's kind of looking at this as like, Jesus, I know it was like yesterday for you, but, you know, every day when we leave, that's someone throw a rock at our heads, and now you're having rallies about pro-mutants? And this leader is really giving like a hell of an eloquent speech where it's like, this the government, man, he's giving the mutant kind the back of its hand, and it's the first thing they try to do when they get cosmic power is change the world for the better, but then the Avengers tore him down, and you know, everyone knows better than that, except for these fucking college kids. But the point stands where Magneto enters again after his meeting.
Can I interject?
Oh yes, please, absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's not like the it's Bendis's whole thing was about how do the Avengers appeal to the world? If you think about it, if you look at AVX, what the public knows is that they know that five mutants were given these godlike abilities. Everybody had everything. Then the Avengers stopped it.
That's not true. They know that the X-Men told everybody to don't be bad and do what we say.
No, they gave everybody free water. They gave they started doing things.
And right. I'm pretty sure they also know about Wakanda.
No, but that doesn't mean there aren't people who exist who think that the Avengers shut them down for not and not telling.
No, I agree with that.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair. Yeah.
And they paint that picture in this issue where the college kids are taking up that stance. And, you know, they had the Phoenix Force, so obviously it wasn't going to end well one way or the other. But you are right in the point of what the public knows is kind of, you know, alludes to the point where it's like, oh, maybe they were wronged. And so Eric makes the point of this being borderline historic where they're having rallies for mutants. And so it's kind of like, well, maybe we should send a message back to them. And Cyclops, in all his brilliance, decides to make a public appearance with a few of his X-Men, you know, that being Angel and Eva and the Stepford Cuckoos and Magic and Emma. And he gets up there with literally a megaphone and just starts making a speech where it's like, you know, this... He starts talking about Charles, and he has to stop himself, and then he's like, you know, I don't want you to tear down the Avengers. I don't want you to tear down the Fantastic Four, because anyone who's worked to make this world better deserves your support. However, there are certain people who would fight to keep our freedoms from us. He doesn't explicitly name anybody, which I think was kind of a cop-out, but he does say that there are people who do fight against them to give them their freedoms, and those are the people that they should be rallying against. Not explicitly the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, but, you know. And as he's playing to this, what he thinks is a stunned crowd, he realizes, oh, wait a second. And all of a sudden, the stage explodes, man. Yeah, fucking explodes. And all of a sudden, Scott Summers and his little ragtag group of X-Men are accosted by a Blockbuster Sentinel, a new design, a Blockbuster, a new form of Sentinel.
Videos and DVDs?
No, it actually looks a lot like looks like a bigger version of. Trying to think of something that it looks like, but doesn't look like anything I've seen. Which is, no, not Transformer. It's more like just like a straight up like an attack drone almost. It doesn't have any head. It has like a globy screen in its chest, I guess, which sort of speaks from it. But it appears to be an entirely new make and model, and also it kind of leaves you wondering: did Eric kind of sell out his guys? Did Eric tell them where to be? And is this a Shield prototype they're deploying here? That part is left alone, of course, until next issue. But regardless, it does move things in an interesting direction.
If it was Magneto that did that, that would be a huge fuck you.
Well, I think he'd be burned because, you know, he just wants Summers screwed over. He doesn't want his kind. He's still Magneto outright. You know, that part's never changed. But what has changed is that Cyclops did something that screwed with his mutant abilities, and he wants recompense from that. And so,
Why he shaved his head.
Yeah.
And he made his costume white.
Yeah, he made it like a cross of like Boba Fett and some other shit. Either way, I think if Magneto found out he did this, he would be burned. But
that's the equivalent to a Jewish person wearing a Nazi.
Symbol. Like, okay, you want your problem gone away, Jewish guy? Well, I got this Nazi friend; he can just take care of it for me. I mean, geez. If you're okay with that.
I mean,
I just want to say that they actually did have Jews in the Nazi party.
Yeah, I know.
Historical fact. So, Nazi collaborators, it's happened.
No, but that's still like, how could you do that considering what these people...
No, I agree. I completely understand and I agree with you. Yeah.
You know, it's like, especially Eric, you know, because he is a Jew, and he's seen persecution on both
sides. He's the ultimate minority. Exactly.
So it's like...
He'd have to be black, too. Black, Jewish, and a mutant.
Well, I think
and gay. Or and gay.
Jewish, and a mutant.
And he has to be gay.
There you go. Heck
yeah. Well, if you read the fan fiction about him and Charlie,
Then he could say, nobody understands my pain.
Fair enough. Yes. But that
as
being
he's
said.
Lying there on his stomach biting a pillow. Oh!
Oh! Oh, Jesus. But yeah, so things are definitely moving in an interesting direction. Bendis' writing is good. It's top-notch. There's one scene in particular I really liked where he's like covertly texting Maria Hill, and it's like broken down into this really bizarre code. And they literally say they set a meet with a location and a time, and it's the most... Listen to this conversation. There was no mayonnaise on my sandwich from Maria Hill. From Eric in response, Inner Space is an underrated movie. From Maria Hill. I voted for the garlic bread flavor.
Oh my god.
That's from funny. Eric, do you know who makes the best donuts in the world? And that conversation, which is an incredibly elaborate code, is broken down to go something like this. We need to meet right now. I assume we were done with each other after last week's drama. And then she texts back, well, you were wrong. And he says, Portland, 2 hours, Mount Tabor Park. That all happens within the span of those four inane text messages.
I like that. That's sort of like that fucking criminal, like I like that. I want to read this book.
Bendis does it really well.
He was a crime guy before he was the superhero guy, yeah. So it's fitting he's
so just that incredibly just like inane, like random text messages.
It's like espionage. It's like, you know, he's a triple agent, you know, you know, oh, that's
sounds awesome. Like something you get from Get Smart. That's what it sounds like.
It almost does. But that's what
it's certainly not a Metal Gear. But that Sentinel has a Metal Gear. I'll stop.
Yeah. So Bendis is writing, of course, is top notch. The only thing I really have to say against this issue is that it was a little light for a $3.99 price tag.
Yeah,
it
seems a little light. About a lot of Marvel comics.
It was a very quick read, and there were parts repeated that kind of bugged me. And I know he has a tendency to do that, but when he does it, I usually don't have a problem. But it just felt like I kind of got jipped a dollar for this.
What do you think of Fraser Irving's art?
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Just give me a second. I just want to say one more thing. Bendis is doing a good job with characterizing the old X-Men as well as the new X-Men. I mean, it kind of goes one new X-Men at a time per issue. Like last week, we got Gabriel, who could do the golden ball thing, and this week we got Eva, who does the temporal control, but he does a very good job of including all of the senior X-Men like Cyclops and Emma Frost into him and characterizing them well after the fallout of having their powers changed and being, you know, runaway criminals again and that sort of thing. So Bendis, of course, gets points for that. Fraser Irving. I'm just going to begin this by saying I much prefer Bocciolo. Just I like Fraser Irving. I read his I saw his art in the Shade back in DC when he was running that miniseries. He did that artwork. It was excellent. But this, as it works here, I would have preferred Bocciolo for the series. I just think he has a better job of capturing facial expressions better and just overall sort of scenes. Because Fraser Irving is he's an interesting artist. I like his art. It's very sort of, I don't know the right word for it, but he does these scenes where it's just the coloring is very off, and I'm not sure if that's his fault or if he intended it that way, but the coloring is incredibly bizarre. Like, before Magneto begins communicating with Maria Hill, he's reflecting on an image of himself in the past fighting the five original X-Men. Simple enough, right? Instead, it's done in, like, a wicked negative green and purple color scheme where it's all, like, bizarre pop art, and it's just, it completely clashes with the scene of him just sitting alone in his room with a dim light, and it sort of bugs me. And then when he goes and when they go to the college sort of rally or whatever, and the Blockbuster Sentinel pops in, it's all green again. I don't know what the thing is with this guy in green coloring, but it's like the most sickly shade of neon, and the coloring is just off in other places too. Nothing so much that it would be like terrible to read. Like, I read this fine and I enjoyed the art, but it's just some of the choices here questionable, and certain facial expressions really bugged the shit out of me. Like,
Irving's never been a facial expression guy. He's always been sort of an abstract artist.
Maria Hill is a dead ringer for Marilyn Manson when he's in concert. Like, seriously? I don't know what to do with that.
Bullshit.
She looks like Marilyn Manson.
Bullshit.
Anywho, I think if they can clean up the coloring a bit better, then maybe the images wouldn't come along as so odd. But regardless, I enjoyed the art. I mean, I'm not sure if this is all Fraser Irving's fault. I don't know if he has any say in the coloring, but if he does, you know, dude.
Yeah, when he drew Batman and Robin for DC, it was all him. So I want to flip through it just to see it because I love Fraser Irving. I was intrigued that him to draw Marvel books because I've always wanted to see his style on the Marvel side.
I think spaces in this book where he really shines is the outdoor training scene in the beginning where they have all the open space and it's snowy outside. He works with that. And the scene with the meet between Magneto and Maria Hill in the park, that scene works really well too. He does that. And that's a majority of the book, so I thought that was good. But just certain other color choices are so overbearing and certain facial expressions are so jarring. It's just like, I can't believe he actually got that pass, you know, an editor or whatever. And by the way, apparently he forgot that last week Bendis cut and dyed one of the Steps for Cuckoo's hair because they're all blonde again in this issue. So, yeah, someone missed that, whether it be Fraser Irving or an editor. But, yeah, someone, you know, missed
that. I bet you it was an editor. Fraser's usually good about stuff like that.
fair enough, but that doesn't change the fact that there are three blonde separate cuckoos, and that just kind of ticked me off, because that's continuity, damn it. But overall, I like the issue. I have no real complaints about it, save for a few questionable coloring choices, and maybe the fact that it was a bit light for a $3.99 price tag. The writing was great. The art for a majority of the book was very excellent, and just, like I said, facial expressions, if you could work on that a little bit, clean it up, I wouldn't have such a big problem, but I don't know, I just really prefer Bocciolo's art to this, and I know people will call me crazy because Bocciolo, much like Fraser Irving, is one of those polarizing artists where his style is either you like it or you don't. And certain people, you know, have very heavy-handed opinions, so I won't fault them for it, but it's just, I would have preferred Bocciolo on this. I think it comes across with people better, and I think it would have served to maybe move the story along at a more convincingly. I don't know. It's just something with the faces, man. Faces. Fucking faces.
All right.
But yeah, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. Like I said, real top notch read. The only real complaint I had was a few coloring choices in the quality or the quantity of the words. So that's about it.
Huh. Okay. Next up, Battle of the Atom.
Dun dun dun.
All right, so we didn't really talk about this because you know, lost episodes. Yada, yada, yada. I'm not blaming you, Arnold. I love you, bro. But we didn't really talk about Age of Ultron. We didn't really talk about the fallout of Age of Ultron. We did a little bit early in this episode. But one of the ramifications for, also another ramification, Taser, is that Angela is now in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a result of Wolverine breaking the timeline. So there, suck it.
Yeah, that's.
You want to explain that one a little bit more for the fans at home?
What do you mean?
Well, the fact that they might not know who Angela is, I know.
Angela was a was, well, okay.
She's
Angela
an
was
angel
originally
from Spawn.
Yes, she's an angel from Spawn. They were out. That's basically what she is. She's from Spawn, and there was a huge lawsuit, whatever you want to call. I'm getting it's hot in my room between Neil Gaiman and Todd McFarlane. Who really owned the character? Only recently did Neil Gaiman actually won the rights, and Neil Gaiman has agreed to bring her to the Marvel Universe. And I think he's actually co-writing with Bendis on Guardians of the Galaxy now, in terms of how to handle Angela. Maybe not the whole issue, but in terms of, like, how she acts and stuff like that. So that
shows up, though. Like, my God. They just insert, hey, what am I doing here?
Well, to be fair, that's not exactly any better than how Gamora greets Angela in the latest Guardians of the Galaxy issue. I don't know. Are you reading Guardians of the Galaxy, Tasers? Do you know how she greets her?
Yeah, I've kind of given up on that book.
Basically, Gamora goes flying right at her with giant weapons in hand and attacks her outright.
Because that's Angela's pissed.
Because that makes total sense, right?
Angela's pissed.
Not at all, actually.
But that remains to be seen. So I think there was a point we were building up to or something.
So basically this leads to the discussion on what other, and we're not going to say DC characters because we've done that before, of what other, like, sort of image independent bear characters would we love to see interact with Marvel characters. And I'm going to go with the easy one to start off. I have always wanted to see Spawn team up with fucking Ghost Rider. I've always wanted to see that.
Spikes for days.
Drawn by Todd McFarlane.
Spikes and flames. I
love Spawn. I love Spawn. And I love Ghost Rider. So I would love to see it. Just for the sheer awesomeness of it. Visually. Story-wise, it may be shit. I don't care. I would also like to see, Brian, you read Witch Doctor, right? From Image?
I do!
I would love to see Dr. T. I can't remember his name. Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Okay, the Doctor. No, because I call him the Doctor, they're going to think I'm thinking of fucking Doctor Who. I would like to see him teamed up with Doctor Strange.
I can see that. Like, I got to call a consultation from a fellow doctor. Oh,
not even that shit. Not even that bullshit. Just sort of the interaction of, like, you have fucking Stephen Strange who's all serious now, and then, like, this basically Dr. House insane wannabe, in a way, which I think would be pretty funny.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
You guys... Oh, and before I'll wrap it up with mine. You read Fear Agent, right? Any of you guys read Fear Agent?
I didn't.
No.
All right, you should. It's a really great space adventure. I would really, and it reminded me, I would really have to see the main character's name is Heath Houston. I would really love to see him, like, in the Marvel Cosmic Universe and how he handles this shit going on right now. It'd just be highly, and it'd be written by Rick Remender because that's his character, and it'd be hysterical and funny. All right, if y'all got any, go ahead.
I got a few. I'll work off.
Go for it.
Okay. First coming down the line, I would like to see Kick-Ass and or Hit Girl clash with the Avengers. Third dimension hopping, it could happen. I would like to see that.
Hit Girl would fuck all those guys. Well, maybe not. But
exactly.
Hit Girl would fuck up Rickon like you wouldn't believe.
They would come into this brutally violent universe where Hit Girl is like just a fucking like murderer and Kick-Ass is this wimp who can't do shit. And they're just like, these are the superheroes.
I thought he could handle himself a bit.
Let's get the hell out. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like back circuit Kick-Ass 1.
Oh, okay.
Because keep in mind, Hit Girl's in jail right now, so that wouldn't really prove.
Is she? I don't fucking read the book.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you too. Yeah. Also, yeah, at the end of Kick-Ass 2, she got arrested for murdering a bunch of people, so there's that. But yeah, them running across the Young Avengers who are dimension hopping, and technically I think Kick-Ass is put out by Marvel, subsidiary.
It's Icon.
Yeah, so it could happen. Also, my pitch, Tony Chu, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my god.
Right?
Are you fucking serious?
I want to see
that. Who's Tony Chu?
He's in a book called Chu from Image. His ability is basically whatever he eats, he can see its most recent, how it was made, how it was turned into, its past, basically. So if he bites like a burger, he could see what happened to the cow. If he bites an ear of a murdered victim, he can see how that victim was killed and who did it. There you go. He's a
savage. That's disturbing.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Believe it or not, it's a comedy book.
Yeah, it's actually.
It would have to be.
And also, I would want to see if they did bring him in. I want to see the vampire meet Doctor Doom because that would be fucking balls out awesome.
That'd be funny. Yeah. He's not a vampire. He's just another psychopath who can absorb abilities.
I know, but he's a badass psychopath.
Fuck yeah, he is. Tony Chu's gonna kick his ass.
Oh yeah, and so that, and then my one other one I got. I don't even need to see, like, a full storyline, but just, like, a quick cameo. I would love to see Avatar Aang meditating in Kunlun when Iron Fist is just chilling out there one day. I would like to see that, you know, just as, like, a little nod to, like, oh, hey, Eastern spirituality, you know. That being said, I'm not sure what they could bring out of that story with, you know, Avatar being a whole different universe and, you know. But I think Kunlun was cross-dimensional, if I'm not mistaken. So, either way. Those are just a few off the top of my head that I would like to see.
T-Man?
I guess I'd like to. You know, it would be a good team up would be Young Avengers meets Young Justice. I think that would be fun.
Like the cartoon or the
No, no, the old.
The old comic book.
Yeah, the old comic book. Actually, let me amend that, because in the old comic book, they were a bit younger than Young Avengers tends to be. Young Avengers, they had, like, what, 19, 23-ish, something like that?
They're, like, 18 up.
Okay, 18 up, yeah, and Young Justice, they weren't. So, I'll say, yeah, aim for the TV version of Young Justice. They were a little older. That works better. Plus, we can include Clone Roy. I would also like to see, you know, an interesting team up would be Shaft and Hawkeye. You know, which one's the bigger archery asshole? You know, and then toss like Ollie into it. You know,
would it be joined by Rob Liefeld?
No, that would be. No. Too many pockets. I would have it drawn by Art Adams.
That would be cool. Oh, that's good.
I would have it drawn by Art Adams.
That's a hell of a choice.
Let's see. I got to think about this in terms of crossovers, too.
Can I say one real quick what you're thinking? Wolverine and Hellboy.
Huh. They've both been to hell.
Anything else? I don't see a. I don't know what the hook for that would be.
Two guys who just want to fight, don't give a shit about anything. Smokers.
Yeah, but that's not Wolverine.
This is what do you mean?
The guy who just wants to fight. That's not. That wasn't even really classic Wolverine. He wasn't really a guy who just wants to fight. He was just a dude who had no problem with offing people. You know, he wasn't. Well, you know,
I just don't want it for the interaction.
Okay. No. Okay. No. Actually, if I was to do that, it would be something where they bump into each other, and then you know, in the middle of you know some case. But at some point, they both end up in the bar. And that conversation between the two of them, I think that would make for an interesting.
They're both basically like this, like not the same age, but they're both really old. Wolverine's right. older, but it'd be great. I would love that. Written and drawn by Mike Mignola.
No, yeah. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see what if Angelo met Zoriel, and then they both end up coming across Mephisto.
Oh shit.
Let's see.
I got one.
Go for it.
Hank Henshaw, the Cyborg Superman, meets the Fantastic Four.
Oh, you mean that the story that already happened?
You just want to do that Superman comic again, huh?
Okay. You hey. Brian, you read Invincible, right?
No, actually, I don't.
Oh,
not monthly, anyway. I got the compendium, but.
Okay, but do you know what the Viltrumites are, right?
Well, yeah, I know.
You know who? Okay, if I say the name Thrag, you know who that is?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Thrag versus the Hulk.
Whoa! Hold on a second.
Hulk is the strongest one there is, and you know how fucking insane and brutal the Viltrumites are. That would be fun to fucking watch, and you know it.
That would, of course, half the planet would be destroyed. But hey,
fucking Kirkman destroys the Invincible universe every fucking week.
That's true. He does.
Come on, you couldn't imagine how awesome that would
be. That would be effing awesome. I would buy that.
Ooh, wait a minute, hold on, Kirkman. How about Wolverine gets tossed into the land of the Walking Dead?
He just carve up everybody and have sex with all the women.
No, let's imagine that though. Let's say it's not the TV version, but it's the comic version where there, from what I can tell, just way more zombies and it's way more oppressive an environment, you know.
Yeah.
But it's Wolverine, you know,
right.
And it's Wolverine.
It would be heaven for him
before he got the medal.
Oh, that'd be okay.
Wolverine before he got the medal. Yeah, so basically, not even Boneclaw, he'd be the guy with the sword. Because he carried a sword at one point, you know, in his early days. So, yeah, I'd like to see that. Or, how about, I'm trying to think of somebody that we could put in that scenario. Same scenario, The Walking Dead.
Tony Stark. For the lulls.
No, not Tony Stark.
Just for the lulls.
No.
Just to see Tony.
The Punisher.
No. Dennis. Spider-Man.
Peter Parker.
Spider-Man.
He would freak the fuck out. He wouldn't know what to do.
Yes.
He wants that.
Yeah.
Or for that matter, having the Walking Dead crew cross over into Marvel and be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, holy shit, people are alive. No. Oh, wait. Better yet, instead of Peter Parker, the Ultimate Kid, Miles, whatever the hell his name
Miles
is,
Miles
Morales tossed him into the water.
They're throwing him into a wood chipper.
Come on.
You ass.
Oh, wow.
Who else? Oh,
you know who'd have a great time in the Walking Dead universe though?
Who?
Frank Castle.
Oh, yeah, Frank Castle.
He would have had the time of his motherfucking life.
Just killing people.
Killing people, killing zombies. I don't give a fuck. He would be the most armed motherfucker in that place.
Right? Yeah, but, you know, he would run into the same problems, though. Unless he went in there with his battle van, you know, procuring armament wouldn't be easy.
He's still a Marine, and he knows how to survive out there.
Yeah, well, okay, that's fine. But, you know, unless he's already got a supply on hand with him, he'd run into the same problems they do.
He's also, you know? Well, sure, but he would have better resolve to get it all, to kill all of them to get that shit.
Okay, I'm willing to see it.
In a killer kill be world, Frank Castle will kill you fast, especially if you're shooting at him. And odds are they're going to be shooting at him.
Who, the dead?
No, just the other people, like not necessarily Rick's camp, but like everybody else.
The governors?
Not the governors, but like there might be other people who are just like surviving, and they see this dude who's scary as fuck because he looks.
Yeah, okay. He wears a skull on his shirt. I think that paints a pretty clear message of who you're dealing with. But yes, that
somehow I think he's a guy who punishes.
He seems like he could be a deadly person. We should approach with caution.
I would like to see Scott Pilgrim team up with Spider-Man, like young Spider-Man.
Maybe. I suppose. I mean, I don't really see anything
in the Marvel universe to see Scott Pilgrim. Basically, like everything's a big fucking video game here.
Okay, but as an allusion to our the topic of discussion we were going to have originally, as an allusion to that, I would see Hellboy chill out with Ben Grimm and get a beer. I would like to see that.
That'd be nice.
Yancey Street is used to weird-looking dudes. You know, Hellboy could be like, holy crap, I can actually function here without anyone looking twice.
The problem with that is, Ben Grimm's used to the shit that goes on with the Yancey Street gang. The minute they throw something at Hellboy, he's tearing shit up if it bothers
him. I think the thing will calm him down. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, but that what we're talking, I don't think that would just be a no, hold on, brother. This is that blah blah blah.
No, I think Hellboy isn't the kind of character broken. Who would start swinging. I think he'd be like, you don't want to do this. Eventually, if they keep at it, like any person,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I don't think it's just going to be the first thing, but that's something. Traditionally, we've seen that, you know, it's not always just one thing. Sometimes it's this, that, and the other, and they just push his buttons, you know? That, I think, would make for an interesting book. But I do agree that the two of them, it'd be like a two-page thing with whatever the fuck it is gets resolved, and then the rest of it is just them in the bar talking bullshit. I think that would be fucking hilarious.
Man.
No, wait a minute.
Oh.
Hellboy ends up in an Avengers poker game.
Yes.
Someone needs to write this.
Someone needs to write this right now.
Somebody get on Tumblr and do it.
Holy, this just got better.
Wait a second. Who's at the game though?
Ben Grimm is clearly the Ben Grimm is clearly
dealer.
He's a dealer. Grimm. Nick Fury's there. I would have Wolverine there.
Luke Cage,
definitely.
Luke Cage?
Yes. Luke Cage doesn't play poker?
Jessica Drew?
Jessica can hang. Jessica definitely hangs.
Carol Danvers, I would have Carol there.
Yeah, Carol traditionally. So she was already there in my head.
Would you have Hawkeye there?
Interesting. I think
Hawkeye seems to be the kind of guy at a poker game who will fuck with your mind vocally to get you to bluff.
I think he's more the guy who brags a bunch but can't hold a hand.
You think so?
I think he's about that kind
of guy. With the way they're writing him now, that would fit. Okay.
Yeah.
You know who I would love to toss in that and just end up making him being the best card player there.
Bring it on.
Hal Jordan.
Oh, my God. Hal Jordan would leave that poker night with...
That would be fucking fun. And he's not in costume at all, but you can't help but miss that green glint on his finger. I like that.
Just Ben Grimm taunting him. You're out of money. Throw that pretty little ring in there, and we'll see what happens.
You know who would be fun to toss into the Marvel Universe and see what kind of what type of ultimate trouble he causes? Tao. Come on, Iggy, you have to know Tao.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Tao from Wildstorm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck that. Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't hear what you were referring to. Who'd you have him
bring him over from the Wildstorm universe and toss him into the Marvel universe.
Oh, he would. Okay, if you don't know who Tao is, in the Wildstorm universe, he was one of the most notorious superpower criminals in that universe. Fuck,
and his only ability was convincing people of the shit that he said.
Yes.
That's what it was. That's the sick shit about it. He didn't have any real power. He just convinced people whatever it was he wanted to convince them of.
Are we talking like he had like superpowers he could convince people, or is it just like he's a slick talker? That's it.
It was something of an ability, but it wasn't like, you know, toss him in the middle of a battle and he'll wreck shit all over the place. He had to, you know, he had to talk to people. But, you know, whatever he talked them into, they would end up doing, and it would seem like the most logical thing. You know, it made perfect sense, so let's do it. Yeah.
If you want to know his origin, read Alan Moore's Wildcats. If you want to know about how twisted and corrupted this fucker is, read Sleeper by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Those are two examples that I know of. But yeah, Tao in the Marvel Universe, he could easily rival with the Kingpin immediately.
Fuck Kingpin. He's taking over Latveria.
Oh, hold on a second now.
Yes. Tao, okay. Tao secretly, as my fan falls, manipulated the entire world, sort of NWO, New World Order, behind their backs. That's how powerful he was.
What's this guy's name? I gotta look him up. His name is
Tao.
Tao. T-A-O.
Okay.
He's a very interesting individual. I love Tao.
He would be able to take and manipulate T'Challa into going after Latveria and end up in control of both by the time everything was said and done. That's how good he was.
Interesting.
Yeah. Check it out. Sleeper for you, Brian.
When it comes to manipulations, Tao was like John Constantine. You know? John Constantine.
An evil John Constantine.
Very, very, very evil John Constantine.
Now I'm interested. Now I got to read his shit. Okay. Oh, crap. Okay, well, I think that's a good place, Andy, to end this podcast.
Yeah.
Talking about Tao running the Marvel U.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for all the nice comments. Final word, guys.
Guardians of the Galaxy looks like garbage.
Brian, final word.
Poop.
See y'all next week on the episode of The Mighty Warriors 3. Also, a new RPG show next week as well. Bye bye.